your Sixers in 60 right now. This is the home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic. The Sixers season is in full swing, and 97.5 The Fanatic has you covered. This is Sixers in 60, the most comprehensive look at the 76ers and around the league. Now let's go down to the hardwood and start the clock. This is Sixers in 60.
In their final game before the All-Star break, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and the LA Clippers at the center tonight as the 76ers play their finale before going on a little hiatus for about a week and a half. How are you? I'm Brian Seltzer. It is great to be with Devon Givens down here at the center just outside section 107-108 as we get ready for another episode of Sixers in 60. It's been an interesting time, D, for the Sixers, to say the least. The team has won the first two games of this homestand. That has been good to see. They needed it coming off that road trip, and we have one of the big games of the season tonight.
Yes, look forward to seeing how they close this one out with the final game of the first part of the season going into the All-Star break, a nationally televised game here against the Los Angeles Clippers, and just a much-needed win over a very good team is something that could just boost the team's morale going into the break here, because you go in with the three-game winning streak, and at some point they're going to hit the road again. They have a four-game trip a little bit later where they hit the West Coast with both L.A. teams, Sacramento and Golden State, in March. And just right now to, again, continue to build up with these wins and pile up on those W's to get that left side of that column up a little bit more to try to jump up a little bit more in the Eastern Conference standings. So a big test tonight, Celts, against a very good. Also, the Clippers are in second place, but they have not been playing the way that they had hoped coming into the season.
Sixers are 33 up, 21 down in the 5 spot in the East. As Devon said, Clippers are just out of first in the West. They're actually only 3.5 games behind the Lakers, 37-16. I'm excited for this matchup, regardless of what's been going on as of late with the team. You know, you've got the first match of the year against Kawhi Leonard, of course, the nemesis from last year in that second round series against the Toronto Raptors. And this was the story of the offseason, the LA Clippers revamping things with Kawhi, with Paul George. They've got amazing talent coming off the bench, led by Lou Williams, who could start tonight because Patrick Beverley's not going to play.
Absolutely.
So this is a team where you look down the road, regardless of where the Clippers are seated in the West right now, you're like, hey, if things in a perfect world can get straightened out for the 76ers, if they're able to go on a run that everyone at the beginning of the season hoped they could go on, this might very likely be a squad that they see down the road.
You're absolutely right. And as you said, you're trying to put things aside. It's hard to ignore it, but putting things aside and taking on the task at hand against the Los Angeles Clippers, who you can see at the end, hopefully, when we're talking about all the way until June with this contest tonight. Once again, on the four-game road trip in March, the second game of that trip, Lakers first, I believe, off the top of my head. And you're absolutely right. Just going out there and seeing what you can do against, and you know you're going to be focused against Kawhi Leonard, the man who ended your season in the playoffs a season ago. So you're going to be very focused on what you do against him. Ben Simmons, I would hope, takes on that challenge of defending him and see who has Paul George. But just a great test to see what you have against the squad. You've already beaten the Los Angeles Lakers. Yes, it was the final game of their road trip, so it was their getaway game, but they played in that game. The Lakers did. We did our Sixers and 60 show here, and we previewed the game. The Lakers were out there playing, and the Sixers beat them. So, once again, a similar situation where it's the getaway for them, the Clippers, because of the All-Star break. But it's more important for the message for you inside that locker room for the Philadelphia 76ers than anything else for the Los Angeles Clippers. They're in a nice spot in the West in that second seed, as you mentioned. But for the 76ers, this is a very, very important game here to just kind of, again, measure yourself with the best teams in the league. You've beaten Milwaukee, you've beaten the Los Angeles Lakers, and now let's see if you can go out there in a similar situation, the setting here where you are very, very good at home and taking this W against the LA Clippers.
Sixers in 60, right here at the center where the 76ers host the L.A. Clippers tonight. He's Devon Givens. I'm Brian Seltzer. Stop by our broadcast area here at the center tonight. Check out our Dietz & Watson mobile broadcast booth. You can find out where the Dietz & Watson mobile broadcast center will be broadcasting from next at 97.5thefanatic.com. If you want the absolute best real Philly hoagie, you got to visit a real Philly deli. Find one near you at realphillydeli.com. 610-632-0975. The Sixers and the LA Clippers. I mean, what else would you expect? Of course, I'm going to take a very optimistic sunshine and rainbow stance here. So here's my sunshine and rainbow stance, all right? I will be happy to see a victory tonight, and I think that will give me a good, optimistic outlook going into the All-Star game break. I think that despite the last week and a half, and even if you wanted to stretch it back to despite since the Christmas victory over the Milwaukee Bucks, I think the break is obviously coming at a good time. Yes, Joel's been back for a couple games. Yes, Richardson has been back for a couple games, but you get this window where there's 9 days between tonight and their first game back from the break, which is a week from this coming Thursday, a chance to reset, a chance to evaluate things like the rotation. How does the new acquisitions of Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III come in? Where do you place them? I think this would be nice where, despite what things have been said about this team in the last couple days, has been you come out tonight, you take care of business, you do what needs to be done, which, again, like you've said, especially the way the team plays here at home, not outside the realm of expectations to, you know, expect them to come out tonight and show well against a good opponent. Then you go into the break feeling good.
Yeah, and the expectation every time they step on the floor here at the center is simply get the W, right? You get the W tonight because the expectation is for you to continue to win at home like you do. Only two losses on the season. So coming back from the break on that Thursday, as you mentioned, on the 20th with the Brooklyn Nets, a tough game, but much needed rest, allowing number one, Josh Richardson, to continue to rehab and get healthier. Same thing with Joel Embiid, to continue to get healthier with these few days off. Yes, he's playing in the All-Star game. It's not going to be too taxing. And once he's back out there on the floor, you hope he's ready to go at tip-top shape for this stretch run before the postseason. But yeah, a win like this one tonight, you have to look at it realistically and say it is tough because it is one of the top teams in this league with the Los Angeles Clippers, and they're also thinking the same thing. They want to go into the All-Star break with a W. And the Sixers, though, with winning three in a row after a tough road trip, coming back here, winning the three with Brooklyn back here to start the second part of the regular season, it's just imperative, Celso, that they find a way to get this one done. It's not going to be easy. This is a great team, the Los Angeles Clippers, still trying to figure things out, and maybe without Patrick Beverley here this evening, but so much firepower on their team with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, just a matchup nightmare. The pick and roll that they run with Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, Landry Shamet coming back with his outside shooting. They have a lot of pieces over there on that other side that will cause many issues for the 76ers, and the barometer that you want to set yourself up with these other teams in the league. If you still want to set yourself and believe you need to be in that conversation with the others, like the Clippers tonight, you have to find a way to get this one done tonight here going into the break.
And by the way, the Clippers added a player that everyone in this area knows pretty well, Marcus Morris, at the trade deadline, and he's
really nice
ready to go tonight.
Yeah, really nice pickup.
I mean, it is one of those things where you hope inside that Sixers locker room that they take stock of some of the discussion around the team as of late and being like, you know what, this is, I know this might sound like cliched and idealistic thinking, but you take stock of what's being said and put it as a challenge to yourself. Like, here's your last chance before the break. You're going to have a long layoff to recoup, recharge, all that stuff. And, like, you got the home crowd behind you. Like, yeah, man, come on, let's come out. Let's do this tonight. Let's get it done. Let's erase all this that's been around us the last week or two and just set things right going into the break. And I mean, I think it really brings, it's coming at an interesting time. As I said, there's the All-Star game break, and then it's like this opportunity to, with that, as we always talk about each year, like to reset, to reevaluate, take stock of where things are. And I start to think about is like, you know, where could the team be in the Eastern Conference? Like, I don't know if I can sit here and say with the same level of spirit and vigor as I would have 3 or 4 months ago that sure, it's a lock to the finals, slam dunk, but I think there has been evidence this season that when you look at the four teams ahead of the Sixers, if you have full health and you have a 7-game series, there's reason to think. You can certainly see how the Sixers could prevail in those matchups. You can see the other side, too, but I think you could also see, if we're being fair, how the Sixers could work their way through some of those matchups.
No, you absolutely can. They're not too far back. It is tough when you look at how far back, with seven games now behind the Toronto Raptors in the second seed. But everyone else, when we look at the Boston Celtics, and you look at the Toronto, not the Toronto Raptors, the Miami Heat, you look at that, and it's not too far. You still have close to 30 games remaining. It's still in arm's reach. It is still in arm's reach. You have 14 games at home, 13 on the road. They may not win all 14, but if you get a solid number of those 14, let's say, if we go off of what they've done now so far, you only lose two more. You're looking at a four-loss record at home, and you try to find a way to get over 500 with those road games. So a game like this just starts with it. It just takes you into the All-Star break feeling much better about yourself versus a loss, because of everything that you're talking about with the expectations that they've set. Celts, we've all talked about us giving our predictions before the season. They said they wanted 60 wins. That may not happen now. They said they wanted a number one seed. That is not going to happen right now, because, with all due respect, the Milwaukee Bucks are very, very good right now. So set the next goal of where you want to be. Brett Brown talked about the playing in the thirds. The first third was up into the Christmas Day game where they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, and they dominated the Milwaukee Bucks. The second third, he spoke about it being from that game on Christmas Day to today, and what absolutely comes of this game. So I will look at that first third and you say, okay, that first third was not bad. The second third, not what they wanted, I'm sure. So close it out the right way and get ready for that next third as you start to make that sprint for the postseason. We don't forget what happened in 17-18 when they ran off 16 games in a row, right? So it's not as if it's impossible. Have some pride in what you're doing out there on the floor. You have, again, 14 home games. This crowd here, these people walking right here by us at 107, 108, 108, 109, the sections that we're in, they're going to be pumped up for this game tonight. They're going to be pumped up for the 14 after the All-Star break. And, again, get out there, show some pride, get your work done, and take that on the road with you as well.
Sixers and the Clippers down here at the center tonight. It's Sixers and 60. Give us a shout, 610-632-0975. I do think the Sixers still have a shot in the Eastern Conference, despite what we've seen as of late. I think tonight could go a long ways to setting the minds of everyone right if they're able to get it done. He's Devon Givens. I'm Brian Seltzer. Stick with us right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is Sixers and 60 on your home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sixers in 60 right now. This is the home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic.
All I got to do, like I keep saying every single night, sometimes you make them, sometimes you miss them, so can't get too high or too low. Just got to keep improving and keep getting better.
Joel Embiid made a big one the other night when the 76ers beat the Chicago Bulls on Sunday, a late three-pointer to win the game to give the Sixers their second straight win. It's Sixers and 60 down here at the center, right between section 107-108. We are at the Dietz and Watson broadcast table with Devon Givens. My name's Brian Seltzer. Sixers have a huge one tonight against the L.A. Clippers. Reminded that the 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. I thought that however he got there, Devon, Joel seemed to have a bit of that... Mojo's not the right word. Is swagger the right word? Some tude. He had some tude.
He definitely had some tude. I don't know about swagger. Yeah. And it was perfect because, of course, it was a big shot. They needed the shot when he knocked down that three-pointer from the left wing. But in terms of swagger, not so much, only because of how everything happened after the fact. But a big shot nonetheless, and being able to knock down that shot in a clutch situation when the team needed him most, not being able to really dominate the way I'm sure he wanted to on that night. And Cornette had a pretty good night himself for the Chicago Bulls. I believe he had like 27 points. And but you know it was a big shot. It's what stars do. It's what franchise players are supposed to do, and he did it. So having that mojo and everything that has happened after the fact, him coming into this game tonight, hopefully that carries over into this evening's game. Once again, a nationally televised game, which he seemingly gets up for every time. And let's see what his performance is tonight. There's not that type of center opposite him where it should really slow him down. You know they're going to send the double teams. Doc Rivers is a very good coach, veteran coach, has coached against his team for a long time. So the focus, of course, to start things off is going to be stopping Joel Embiid and everything else thereafter. Nice shot by him, of course, against the Chicago Bulls, though, to knock that three-pointer down.
Joe's going to have a busy All-Star game break. He, of course, is going to be starting, playing on Team Giannis on Sunday night in Chicago. On the opposite side for Team LeBron, Ben Simmons is a reserve. His teammate, one of them in that game, is going to be a guy who's going to probably be defending tonight in Kawhi Leonard. And it's funny because you think back to the way the postseason ended last year, and I'm not talking about the shot. I'm talking more about the narrative surrounding Ben. And there was all this talk from Brett Brown throughout the series and Elton Brand after the season how, regardless of the numbers that Kawhi put up, because they were ridiculous, it was a beneficial experience for Ben Simmons. And they were saying even back then in May, like, Ben's going to be able to take this experience and become a better defender because of it. And I think we've seen that this season so far. So tonight, I think this timing is really interesting for Ben to look at this matchup tonight against him, likely going up against Kawhi Leonard. And, it's kind of like back finishing the circle to where it started to set the tone for what I think has been an improved, unofficial first half of the season for Ben. I know it's not as complete as everyone would like in certain respects, but I think that we have seen a better Ben Simmons going into the All-Star break.
Yes, game one against the Boston Celtics to start off the campaign, he was the best player on the floor. And after that, things kind of tailed off. And then he picked up his play again. And everyone focuses on, of course, when Embiid was out and they went on the stretch. He played very well. He won Eastern Conference Player of the Week for one of those weeks. But he has picked up his play. And in regards to his defense, in the playoffs, what were you really going to do against Kawhi Leonard? He was phenomenal, and which is why he was the Finals MVP going up against the Golden State Warriors. I thought Ben Simmons did a nice job against Kawhi Leonard in the postseason. The thing that stands out, of course, which they could have used much more help, was the offensive end, where he did not really contribute that much, as much as everyone would have wanted, as you pointed out, a more complete game out there for him. But defensively, yes, carrying over from what he did in the postseason then to where he is now, coming in with the aspirations of being a defensive player of the year. Right now, I think we can surely put him in at least in the top two of being a all-NBA defender. How high will the coaches vote him? We'll find out, because I really think part of itself with him being voted into the All-Star game for a second consecutive year is because starting with his defense. And yes, we know he leads the team point guard-wise and how everything goes there, but defensively, he has been a standout player in this league. So taking a challenge on tonight with both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, because there will be those times when one or the other is on the floor. Ben remains on the floor, and that is his assignment. Let's see it. We've seen you do it. Let's see you do it one more time. And again, spill your guts. This is the last game before the All-Star break. As you pointed out, yes, he's playing in that game on Sunday. He's not playing in any skills challenge. He's certainly not playing in the three-point shootout. He's not in the dunk contest. We will not see him again until the 20th when they reconvene for the Brooklyn Nets game. So spill your guts, go out there, and do what you need to do against this basketball team and try your best to slow them down. You're not going to shut them down. Slow them down.
Sixers and 60 down here at the center, getting ready for the 76ers and the Clippers. 610-632-0975. We are at the unofficial midway point of the year. Do you still think the 76ers are an Eastern Conference contender to come out of the East? I think that you can look at it and say that there's a way. Let's look at the four teams in front of them real quick. You've got right above them the Miami Heat. They are 2.5 games in front of the 76ers. Recent taste in the mouth, obviously not great.
Yep.
A week ago last Monday. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to have a game the likes of which he did last Monday if you were to play them in a 7-game series on a consistent basis. I actually thought the first game they played in Miami, the Sixers, they were close. It was an overtime game. You know, that may be kind of a toss-up. The Sixers obviously handled Miami in the first meeting here at the center, and the second game of the season was like zone fest.
Yeah.
When Miami came out and won that game by 4 points. But I see, like, Miami, Jimmy's a talent. Bam's having an amazing season. Some of the other surrounding cast members, I'd still want to
in a playoff
nice in the regular season.
Right.
Let me see what you got in the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're talking about two rookies in Harrow and Nunn, two rookies right there that are unproven in the
Duncan
postseason.
Robinson, what have you done?
Unproven in the postseason. We've only seen them during the regular season. They're getting the job done right now, but things change. They will be in a rotation, but they attack you a little bit different because it is the playoffs. It is a little bit more physical. Running you off that three-point line, Tyler Hero, what are you going to do next? And, yes, we've seen you put the ball on the floor and make some plays in the painted area, obviously in the mid-range, pulling up for his jumper. But to your point, we talk about it here, so it's only fair to talk about it with other teams as well, if that is, in fact, a matchup that we'll see in the postseason. What are these young players going to do in that setting? What is, as good as Bam Adebayo is and has been and deserving All-Star this season, what is he going to do against Joel Embiid if he's healthy in the postseason? So I would agree with you that that's a nice matchup, the Boston Celtics, having the success that you've had with them this season, 3-1. On the season, the last game, of course, in Boston, where we want to forget that one. But I look at those two teams, and certainly we want to see this team elevate, hopefully above those two teams, and try to get to that three spot and try to fight then for that second seed. But if we're talking about them being in that 5-6 area or even jumping up to 4 where you're still playing one of those two teams, I do like their chances against them. I think it would be a very good series. Boston a little more tested than you're talking about Celtics with some of the younger players there, because Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they've obviously been there, been in that situation. So it's going to be fun to see how the second half plays out. Starting off tonight, it'd be great to see them get this W going into it.
76ers and the LA Clippers, the Toronto Raptors. I mean, it is amazing. They've won 15 straight games, and they don't have the guy who's obviously in the building tonight.
Amazing coaching job by Nick Nurse. The culture that they have in Toronto, led by Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol, they do a fantastic job. It just seems like they have such a balance within their roster, even though, as you pointed out, losing Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers, they have shifted everything that Kawhi Leonard did to, let's say, partly Pascal Siakam and a little bit of Norm Powell, and then you have Fred VanVleet elevating his level of play. Terrence Davis, an undrafted rookie that no one even knows about from Ole Miss, comes in, and now he's starting to give some really, really good minutes and some big numbers for them as well in the last couple of weeks for Terrence Davis coming off the bench. They just have a way about them, coaching job, Serge Ibaka. They know their roles. They know where they fit. Ego-wise, it doesn't seem to get in the way with what they're doing on the floor. They're playing fantastic basketball. What was it, 15-game winning streak that they have going on? And they've already had a situation where they were out without Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka, without Norman Powell, who was playing very, very well. Pascal Siakam missing time as well. So you have to tip your cap to them with how well they have been playing. And looking at them, test it. They have a championship pedigree. They know what it takes to win in these situations, in these settings. That will be a tough out. That will definitely be a tough out. And the Sixers still, Celtics, unfortunately, have not figured out how to win in that Scotiabank Arena in Toronto.
Tavon, we got some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
We're going to talk about it after the break. 76ers in their starting lineup tonight. Furkey from Turkey is in. Al Horford is out.
Out injury or out coming off the bench? Healthy.
He is healthy. Oh. Starting in place. All we know at this point in time is that Furkan Korkmaz is starting in place of Al Horford tonight. So we'll take a look. We'll do a little
Turkey
bit more digging during this break and come back with some additional info in just a few moments. Korkmaz is going to get the start tonight for the 76ers, coming off back-to-back 30-point games. The Sixers try to going to the All-Star break with a dub, hosting Kawhi and the Clips here at the center. It's Sixers and 60 on the Fanatic.
This is Sixers in 60 on your home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sixers in 60 right now. This is the home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic.
When I do something, everybody involved, which makes me really happy. We are having fun all together. Of course, I'm really happy about it. You know, my teammates react, my coaching staff reacts. Even I saw the assistant coaches, like, they jump, you know, they just wanted to give shoulders and everything. That's really good things.
Furkan Korkmaz has been on fire as of late. 65 points through the first two games of this homestand. He has only missed, amazingly, 9 of his 34 shots. He's 13 for 20 from 3. Just an awesome story. A guy who essentially was saying goodbye to the 76ers at the end of last year, only to be re-signed when some other things happened and the Bucks got Kyle Korver. Then, after Furkan had inked a deal in Turkey this summer, the Sixers were able to bring him back, and man, has that proven to be a good move by Elton Brand and company.
I definitely thought he was gone, man. I really did. When you started seeing those reports about him signing in Turkey and no other teams looking to pick him up because it was so late in the free agent period that he was done. And all of a sudden, a two-year deal, he's back here in Philadelphia, and he's finally taking some of those notes that I gave him about shooting, and it's working out for him right now. So, and he's a really, really good guy. So, you know, the first time I met him through you, and the way, just how humble he is with the understanding what the situation is and continuing to just work. And we know about the trade, the man that was reported his time here early on where he was frustrated and wanted to move on and all that. But just good to see him working out right here. And let's see if he can continue that, man. I mean, 34 and 31, that number that you gave shooting from behind the three-point line is just tremendous. And they're going to need it tonight. They're going to need it tonight. And let's see if he can hold up his end of the bargain now being in the starting lineup. The question is, just how many minutes will he be playing as a starter versus someone else? How he's going to allocate those minutes between both Horford and Korkmaz tonight here on the floor. I'm shocked.
I mean,
we've heard it.
Yeah.
Possibility of it happening, but I am shocked.
Sixers and 60 down here at the center behind section 108 at the Dietz and Watson broadcast table. He's Devon Givens. I'm Brian Seltzer. And the big news for the 76ers tonight. Furkan Korkmaz starting. Al Horford out of the starting lineup. He is confirmed to be available for tonight's game, so this isn't a rest game for Al Horford. This is definitely a decision by the 76ers to change things up a little bit and see how this might look with a smaller lineup, a little bit more traditional-looking lineup for the starters this evening, as Furkan Korkmaz is going to make the start, along with Ben Simmons. Josh Richardson is back in the starting lineup as well.
Okay.
So it's Simmons and Richardson in the backcourt, Korkmaz on the wing, Harris back at the four, and Joel Embiid at the five with Al Horford available off the bench. Now, it's so amazing how this scenario has played out, because I think everyone would say coming into this year, you know, Al Horford, the respect you have for him, what you saw from him, and what he was doing for Boston over the last couple of years, right. You can't deny that. He is a winning player who has succeeded everywhere he's been. Trying to find the right fit has been a different situation for him this season here with the 76ers. He was scoreless for the first time in his career Sunday against the Bulls. This is the first time that Horford is going to come off the bench in a regular season game since the 11th game of his NBA career. That was back in 2007. I was in a much different place in my life in 2007.
Yes, as was I. That's a long time for him to be a starter, an all-star, as you said, a team player, someone who just simply wants to come in, do his job, and keep his head down and come away with the victory at the end of the day. And for him to, I'm sure, receive this news, he was asked about it because it's been talked, spoken about, and he said, listen, I'll do his best for the team. Well, let's see what happens. One thing that just pops out, of course, you mentioned Josh Harris is going to be starting again, and Josh Richardson will be in the starting lineup again. I thought that Brett Brown would wait until the after the All-Star break to do that. But now, looking at this, the first thing that jumps to me, Celts, is Al Horford versus Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell coming off the bench is that center. And of course, if Al Horford is going to be at that center position, what's going to work out there? Secondly, in the starting lineup, Tobias Harris against his former team, sliding back to that four position now as that four man. And I remember when we talked to him at our Fan Fest, Celts, and we talked to him about being a natural three, back to his natural position in the four, and just what it takes to have that mindset of switching back to what he's accustomed to in that spot. So keeping my eye on that tonight with him being a four man against the Clippers. And yes, they go Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and they work it out that way where I don't know if Marcus Morris is starting for them or not, but I'm curious to see if those particular matchups with Horford coming off the bench against Montrezl Harrell, and now Tobias Harris in the starting lineup going against whoever it is that he's going to be opposite at the four, and what he does, how different is his offensive production going to be as a four man? And we certainly can't ignore Korkmaz against whoever it is that he's going to be defending and who's going to be defending him as well. I'm curious to see what type of defensive assignment Doc Rivers has for Furkan Korkmaz the way he's been shooting.
Yep. No, he commands attention.
He's on a scouting report now, Celts.
He is one of the hot guys that's on those scouting reports.
Player
There's
of
no
the week.
Question. Got
I'm just
some
kidding,
votes.
Guys.
He got some
Unless
votes.
He drops 30 tonight. He might get it.
Sixers and 60, 610-632-0975. Furkan Korkmaz is going to start tonight. Josh Richardson back in the starting lineup. Al Horford will be coming off the bench for the 76ers. So now, right, so there's a couple things you have to start thinking through in your mind. First of all, I think that this move, as much as anything, and maybe even more than the offense that Korkmaz has been giving the Sixers, is that Brett's got to believe his defense is ready to throw out there in a starting situation. Now, whether or not that plays out tonight remains to be seen.
Right.
But I think his defense is probably getting to a point where the Sixers trust him a little bit more. So, all right, I tried before the game. I was looking at this because I'm trying to figure out also where Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burks, the two pickups of the trade deadline, might fit into the rotation. So the way Brett usually does it is Joe and the two guard will go to the bench maybe somewhere around the six-minute mark.
Yep.
Ben stays out there. So now,
Tobias.
At that point, right, Tobias stays out there as well. So now you have Al coming in. Presumably Horford would come in right around the six-minute mark to spell Embiid. But what that means, what I'm looking at more, is like, all right, now you have Ben and Al. And I think that what we saw when Joel was sidelined in January, like, Al can function out there in a higher-paced offense that is featuring a revved-up Ben Simmons, which is what you'd have to think it's going to look like for the Sixers. You have another flyer. Thibel will probably be a part of that group as well. So you're going to have a group that can kind of fly out there on offense.
No, you can, and you're absolutely right. Al Horford can still move and keep up pace-wise with Ben Simmons, who's going 100 miles an hour once he gets the basketball, either off the rim or via the outlet where it's time to push and transition. And we've seen the trail threes as a trail man, of course, secondary break where he's got those opportunities to shoot the ball from deep, Al Horford. And then also in the half-court set where that pick and pop has worked out better, if you will, with Simmons and Horford during that time that Joel Embiid was out. So if it's going to be that two guard that is coming off the floor, in this case, let's say it's Josh Richardson, especially with him just being inserted into the starting lineup again. So he and Embiid come off the floor, and Thibel and Horford come in. So now you're looking at a lineup of Furkan Korkmaz, Thibel, Simmons, with Horford and Harris still out there. You're right. That's something that can still move, can still get to the three-point line when everyone is, of course, looking to space out and then allow Ben the opportunity to find that man in rhythm. Okay. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. And this could potentially be something that we see in the very near future after the All-Star break, something that they can consistently do out there on the floor.
Sixers and 60 here on the Fanatic. We're going to touch base with Tom McGinnis in about 10 minutes' time. He's getting ready to call the Sixers and the Clippers. Huge test for the team going into the All-Star break. For me, they get the win tonight. That'll make things certainly look a lot more positive and encouraging going into the break would be a great way to go into a week and a half layoff. Mm-hmm. Furkan Korkmaz gets a start tonight. Al Horford will be playing a reserve role. He's available. He's healthy. No rest game for him. Where do you think Burks and Robinson III are going to factor into the rotation?
I was surprised that Alec Burks did not play in the first game against the Chicago Bulls Sunday in the victory here at the center. I was really surprised, but based off of what we saw from Glenn Robinson and what he was able to do coming in, not knowing much of the offense, but being that wing man, that wing player who is not in a standstill, who's always on the move, who's finding that slashing, that cutter that you have out there with guys who look to pass the basketball from Simmons to Horford to any other guys that were also out there hitting him for his easy buckets. And I thought he played well in his return back to Philadelphia, Glenn Robinson. Now I want to see what you get from Alec Burks, because I think with his ball handling, the fact that he has been shooting at a much better clip this time around, 38% from behind the three-point line for Alec Burks, a guy who can also be that secondary ball handler, someone when the shot clock is not in your favor and you find him, he's someone that can take you off the bounce and get a good shot. So I think with Brett Brown saying that they're going to be in the lineup, I want to see how we use him, because I think you have to find a way to get these guys on the floor, both Burks and Robinson, to see where you can fit in, because there's a lot of wing players now on this team that have earned minutes. So let's see what those two, specifically Burks, have in store tonight.
Right, and what happens to someone like a Shake Milton, who has filled a role for the Sixers, and particularly when playing with Ben Simmons, those two have found a nice fit with each other.
Yeah, they have, and once again, I thought that Shake would get the start tonight, give him one more chance, he's not going to overtake Josh Richardson for that spot, but give him one more opportunity to close things out. They've been playing well with him in that position, so give him another shot, and after the All-Star break, Richardson healthier with the hamstrings injuries that he's been nursing, and go from there. But if Brett's calling that number, Josh Richardson must be well enough to be back in the starting lineup and get those normal minutes that we are accustomed to seeing him out there on the floor with. But Shake Milton, yes, he's played well, but Alec Burks, they have to figure out what's what, because the rotation is going to shorten soon. 20-plus games remaining. Brett Brown's going to have to figure out what his playoff rotation is going to look like, and some guys are going to get squeezed out and not have an opportunity to play the minutes that they think they deserve.
One decision Brett Brown made for tonight. Furkan Korkmaz is in the starting lineup. Al Horford's going to be coming off the bench. Tobias Harris is going to be in the front court along with Joel Embiid. So the 76ers downsizing in terms of size a little bit tonight. It's going to bring the pop from the outside from Furky, who has had a just ridiculous homestand so far. Sixers Clippers, this is Sixers in 60 here on the Fanatic. Tom McGinnis in a couple minutes will set the scene for tonight's big game against LA. Listen to Sixers in 60 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.